জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, জয় গোপীজন বল্লভ গিরিবর ধারী, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজজন রঞ্জন, যশোদানন্দন ব্রজজন রঞ্জন, যমুনা তীরবন চারী, যমুনা তীরবন চারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারী, জয়ং বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমাদ অভয় চরণার বিন্দু ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়, নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়, প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি জয়, শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়, শ্রী শ্রী রুক্মিণী দ্বারকাধীশ কি, শ্রী শ্রী জগন্নাথ বলদেব সুভদ্রা মহারানী কি, শ্রী শ্রী গৌর নিতাই কি, সমবেত ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি, গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বলড ডিভোটিজ, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Deshutari. শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি, শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু কি, শ্রী শ্রী রুক্মিণী দ্বারকাধীশ কি, হরে কৃষ্ণ, থ্যাংক ইউ সুভাষ প্রভু, ইটস অলওয়েজ সো ওয়ান্ডারফুল টু সি ইউ অ্যান্ড বি উইথ ইউ, সো ওয়ান্ডারফুল টু বি ইন Happy to be here at your wonderful shelter. Hare Krishna. The class that I'm going to give today is actually a continuation of a class yesterday. Today and tomorrow, I am supposed to give a class on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Why did Krishna come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?
Krishna.
Krishna. And who is Krishna? Did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear like the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
No.
Very good. Then who does he look like? He looks like a devotee. He appeared as a devotee, not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, isn't it surprising? The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not come as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He came as a devotee. So that's why it is necessary to discuss and find out why he came, why Krishna came as a devotee. And this point has been very wonderfully explained at the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. How many of you have this book? How many of you do not have this book? How many of you think that you should have this book? Okay. Please have Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is an amazing scripture. This book actually is the essence of the entire Vedic literatures. Only when you read it, you will understand. This Chaitanya Charitamrita has been presented in three leelas. Adi Leela, or you can say three aspects of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. The early pastimes, middle pastimes, and end pastimes. Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, and Antya Leela. So at the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has been described very clearly, it has been explained why Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the Adi Leela, meaning the preliminary aspect of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. This is volume 1, and in the volume 1 there is the third chapter describes about Mahaprabhu's, the purpose of Mahaprabhu's appearance and the external purpose of Mahaprabhu's appearance. And in the fourth chapter it has been described what was the internal purpose of Mahaprabhu's appearance. There are two reasons why Mahaprabhu appeared. There was an external reason and there was an internal reason. So yesterday, quite elaborately, we discussed about the external reasons of Mahaprabhu's appearance. How many of you were there in the class yesterday in Laguna Beach Temple? Okay, and how many of you were not there? Okay, so most of you were not there. So I think I should briefly discuss about that, right? Do you want me to discuss about the external reasons? Okay, I'll briefly discuss about that, and then we'll go into the internal reasons. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes once in a day of Brahma. Right? How many of you know that? Okay. How many of you know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Okay, so Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna actually is the Supreme, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests Himself in many different incarnations. So Krishna comes in different incarnations at different times. Krishna Himself said in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharatah abhuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijammaham. Whenever there is a decline of religious principle and increase of irreligiosity, then I come. I appear in order to establish the principles of dharma. Principle of spiritual law and order. So that's why Krishna comes from time to time. And also at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has been explained that Krishna has innumerable incarnations. In Srimad Bhagavatam, at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, 22 different incarnations of Krishna have been described. And then it has been mentioned that just as there are innumerable rivers and rivulets are appearing from the ocean and going back into the ocean, similarly the Lord has innumerable pastimes, innumerable incarnations. So there are innumerable incarnations, but after describing that there are innumerable incarnations, but then Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that all these incarnations are parts of Krishna and parts of Krishna. Ete changsha kala pungsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. These all are parts and parts and parts and of Krishna, the Supreme. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. That original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is dvibhuj and Shyam Sundar. The original personality of Godhead Sri Krishna has two arms and his complexion is like monsoon cloud, dark as the monsoon cloud. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally resides in his supreme abode called Vrindavan. And that Krishna expands. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna of Vrindavan, his first expansion is Balaram. On Monday, there will be Balaram's appearance day celebration. You all are familiar with that program? So you all will be celebrating Balaram's appearance day? Yeah? Okay. So Balaram is Krishna's first expansion. And then from Balaram expands the Chaturbuha of Dwarka. That is Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Then from this Chaturbuha, Sankarshan expands innumerable Narayans in Vaikuntha. And then from Narayan expands the Karanodakshai Vishnu or Mahavishnu. The original Vishnu who is the cause of the entire material creation. He expands, like he lies down, Krishna, or as Narayan expands as Karanodakshai Vishnu and he lies down in the causal ocean. And as he lies in the causal ocean and he breathes, causal ocean is the ocean of cause. Cause, we use the expression cause, right? Like everything has a cause, every effect has a cause. Now this cause is actually a substance. It's a substance. And there is an ocean of this substance called cause. And Mahavishnu lies in the causal ocean. And as he breathes, like if you are lying underwater and if you breathe, what will happen? The bubbles will appear. And mind you, we don't only breathe through our nostrils and mouth. We also breathe through the pores of our skin. And same is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He also breathes not only through his nostrils and mouth, but he also breathes through every pore of his skin. The only difference is when we breathe, we produce carbon dioxide, and when the Lord breathes, the universes are generated. And each bubble that is created due to his breathing, each bubble is actually an universe. And mind you, he's breathing also from the pores of his body. And each single bubble, no matter whether how tiny it is a universe. I mean, from his perspective, it may be tiny, but from our perspective, it's huge, vast. And mind you, the universe that we are in is one of the smallest one. It's the smallest universe. How do we figure it out? Because according to the size of the universe, Brahma has his head. I presume you know who is Brahma? Okay, very good. I have got a learned audience here today. So Brahma, the smallest Brahma has four heads. Then there are eight-headed Brahma, 16-headed Brahma, 64-headed Brahma. And it goes on and on and on. Can you believe that there are million-headed Brahmas? So anyway, my point is that we are in the smallest universe. Why? Because the Brahma of this universe has only four heads. So that's the smallest Brahma you can get. There is no one-headed or two-headed or even three-headed Brahma. Brahma has four heads, the smallest, the Brahma of the tiniest universe. So, in this way, the Lord expands into unlimited expansions called incarnations. So, who is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead? Krishna. What is the proof? The proof is Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete changsha kalapungsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. That original Supreme Personality of Godhead resides in Vrindavan. Right? I'm sure you all know that. Krishna resides in Vrindavan. And where is this Vrindavan located? Vrindavan is located in the spiritual sky. And which part of the spiritual sky Vrindavan is located? In the topmost region. What is the general geography of the spiritual sky? General geography of the spiritual sky is that when you go beyond this material nature and come to the spiritual sky, you will see the vast expansion of spiritual light, vast expanse of spiritual light. That is called Brahma Jyoti. Like in the material nature, it's situated in material sky. And what is the material sky like? Material sky is dark. Isn't it? Just because the sun comes up, that's why there is some light. And the moon is radiating some light, there is some light. Otherwise, what would have been the condition of this planet, this universe, this material nature is actually in eternal darkness. The sun comes up, therefore there is some light. If the sun was not there, what would have been the condition? It would have been total darkness. One may say, well, we have petroleum, we have wood, we have fire, and we can light the fire. But the fire also has the ability to burn. The inflammability of wood is due to sun. Wood, what do they do? They take the energy from the sun and store it in the body cells, in the cellulose. And the cells of the trees are repository of the energy. And then at certain condition, that energy is released, and that's what comes out in the form of fire. So if sun was not there, the whole material nature would have been in total darkness. That is what Krishna pointed out in Bhagavad Gita. Describing about the spiritual nature, Krishna said, Natad bhashayate surja na shashanka na pavaka jad gatvana nivartante staddhama paramang mama. The spiritual nature, in order to light the spiritual sky, there is no need of surja. Surja means sun. And shashanka means moon. There is no need of sun, no need of moon, and no need of even pavaka or fire to light that place. That place is in eternal light. So in this way you can see that the spiritual nature is diametrically opposed to the material nature. Material nature is in total darkness, spiritual nature is in eternal light. And that light, what kind of light is that? That light is not like the light of electricity or sun, rays and so forth. That is called Brahma Jyoti. So the spiritual sky is filled with Brahma Jyoti. And then in Brahma Jyoti there are some planets. In the spiritual sky there are planets. Those planets are known as Vaikuntha. And this Vaikuntha stretches all the way up to a region called Dwarka. In Vaikuntha, the Lord is present as Narayan, four-armed Narayan. In the higher part of Vaikuntha, there is a spiritual planet called Ayodhya. In Ayodhya, the Lord is present as Sri Ramchandra. And then beyond Ayodhya is Dwarka. And that Dwarka is the place where Krishna is present as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, known as Vasudev. Now beyond Dwarka is Mathura Mandal, and in Mathura Mandal, the topmost region of the spiritual sky called Vrindavan. Now the unique aspect of Vrindavan is that in Vrindavan, Krishna actually is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There he is not the Supreme Controller, Supreme Creator and so forth. There he is the Supreme Enjoyer. Isn't the enjoyment the highest aspect of existence? So the Supreme Personality of Godhead's, his highest manifestation is as the Supreme Enjoyer. And how does he enjoy? What is the highest form of enjoyment? The highest form of enjoyment is exchange of love. And this highest form of enjoyment of love is exchanged in three very special kinds of relationship. As friendship, parental and conjugal. Love between friends. That is a higher form of love. Even higher than that, friendship is parental. The love between parents and their children. And even higher than that is the love between boyfriend and girlfriend. Right? So, these are the three highest form of loving relationship. Now, in Vrindavan, Krishna relishes this loving exchange. What are those three forms of loving exchanges? Friendship, parental, and conjugal. Now, in order to experience that loving exchange, Krishna ceases to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because friendship takes place between equals. Friendship is between equals. Now, in order to develop friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to become equal to God. Now, is it possible for anyone to become equal to God? No. Therefore, generally, a friendly relationship with God is not possible. Friendship is not possible with God. Then, okay, at least in friendship, they're equal. But parental relationship is between parents and children. Parents are superior, children are inferior. Now, to become the parents of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to become superior to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How is it possible? Can anybody be superior to God? And then, to develop a relationship like paramour or lover and beloved. How is it possible for anyone to develop that relationship with God? It's not possible. Generally, it is not possible. For anyone, it's not possible for anyone to become equal to God or superior to God. But God, if He becomes equal, we cannot become equal to Him, but if He becomes equal to us, then friendship will be possible. Right? Parental relationship is not possible, but if God becomes inferior to us, then it is possible. Now, Vrindavan is the region where the Lord allows His devotees to develop these relationships, and in order to do that, He has become just an ordinary cowherd boy. There He is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There He is a cowherd boy. And what does He do there? He is not engaged in maintaining all the affairs of this material as well as spiritual nature. There He is simply tending cows from morning till night, morning till evening, with His boyfriends. And then, at night, He goes to bed. But when everyone falls asleep, He sneaks out of His bed and He plays His flute. And by playing His flute, He attracts all the young girls of Vrindavan. And throughout the night, He dances with them. So that's what the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. In His original position as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. That's why Vrindavan is very, very special region. It's a very special region in the spiritual sky. It's so special that even from Vaikuntha one cannot enter into Vrindavan. From Vaikuntha region one cannot go to Vrindavan. What to speak of Vaikuntha? Even from Dwarka, one cannot go to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is such a special region. In order to enter into Vrindavan, you have to have a very special permission. A very special gate pass. Now, Krishna, once in a day of Brahma, you know what is the duration of day of Brahma, of duration of a day of Brahma? 4.32 billion years. A day of Brahma is 4,320,000,000 years. So that is the day of duration of Brahma's day. And in a day of Brahma, Krishna comes once. Sometime during the midday, little before midday. Krishna comes to this planet, Earth planet. Krishna, when he comes to the universe, he doesn't go to other places. He has a very special place to come to. Just like when the president of America goes to England, where does he go to? He goes to the U.S. Embassy and stays there, isn't it? And U.S. Embassy, what is U.S. Embassy? In different countries, the U.S. there are even United States embassies. Those embassies are actually United States of America in those countries. Say, for example, in London, there is U.S. Embassy. Now, is the U.S. Embassy is it a part of U.K.? Is it a part of London? No, it is United States of America. Once you step in there, you are in the United States of America. There even the water is supplied from America. I don't know about London, but in India I have seen that the U.S. Embassy has water, like those usual U.S., the bottled water that you get, upside turned upside down. Yeah. Okay. Nirantar Prabhu is pointing out. Rock spring or whatever it is. Alice spring. Okay. So, the guards are U.S. Military force. There, everybody is a part of United States of America. And when you go there, so that's United States of America. And when the U.S. state president goes there, goes to London or India or someplace, where does he go to? Does he stay in a hotel? No, he won't stay in a hotel. He'll stay in the embassy. So similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has his embassies in the universes, in the material nature. Do you know where those embassies are generally located? In every universe, there is an Earth planet. And in every Earth planet, there is a land called Bharatvarsha or India. In every Earth planet, there is an India. I don't know whether every Earth planet has America, but every Earth planet, in each universe, there is an India. And in that India, there is a region called Mathura Mandal, Mathura. And in Mathura, there is this Vrindavan. So whenever Krishna comes to Vrindavan. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead comes to Vrindavan. And he performs what kind of pastimes? Does he, as I mentioned earlier, what kind of pastimes does he perform there? Does he play like the Supreme Personality of Godhead? In Vrindavan? No. There he plays as a cowherd boy. And In this way, Krishna relishes the loving exchange with his friends, with his parents, and with his girlfriends. Now, that pastimes of Krishna is performed once in a day of Brahma in the 28th Chaturyuga, in the Dwapar Yuga of the 28th Chaturyuga. And then after performing his pastimes in Dwapar Yuga, Krishna considers that I have manifested my pastimes of Vrindavan, but how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? How will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Why is it so difficult to enter into Vrindavan? Krishna himself considered that. He said that everyone generally, all the devotees generally serve me following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, which is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Bidhi means to follow the rules and regulations that has been presented in the scriptures. And by following the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service, in awe and reverence, one goes to Vaikuntha. If you are following the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vaidhi Bhakti, and when you achieve perfection, where will you find yourself? Do you know? You'll find yourself in Vaikuntha. Now, as I mentioned earlier, that from Vaikuntha one cannot enter into Vrindavan. So how will anyone ever enter into Vrindavan? Krishna considered that. Because the devotees will always serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead following Vaidhi Bhakti. And by performing Vaidhi Bhakti, he'll go to Vaikuntha. So how will one enter into Vrindavan? So Krishna considered that devotees will always serve me in Vaidhi Bhakti. But if I become a devotee, then serving that devotee, Supreme Personality of Godhead by Vaidhi Bhakti, one will enter into Vrindavan. So this point has been very wonderfully explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, third chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is this point clear to everybody? Or do I need to elaborate? Anyway, maybe at this point I'll ask if anybody has any question. Okay. Yes. Okay. Where does the sun appear? When the sun rises, where does the sun appear? In the east. So do you call the sun the eastern sun? No. Yeah, actually, just as the sun is beyond any material consideration as such, similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is beyond any such material consideration. But one thing, of course, is true, like the Indian culture, the Vedic culture is very close to spiritual culture. But today India is losing that. Today India is giving up the Vedic culture and they are accepting the Yankee culture. So that is the unfortunate state of affairs of India today. And that's why Prabhupada came and brought Krishna consciousness to America. So that Indian can borrow it from the Americans. So the Lord is beyond any such material consideration. But in a way it's true what you said, is that the Indian culture is very close to spiritual culture. Isn't it? Right, okay. So now I will go forward to make the final point on the purpose of Krishna's appearance. That has been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita through a very beautiful verse that has been composed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the most intimate associates, Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, Anarpito charing chirat korunayavatirna kalau samarpaito munnato jalarashang sya bhakti shriyam hari purata sundara duti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare sphuratu vasachinandana. The external reason of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance has been explained in this way. In order to bestow something that the Lord has never have given before, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose complexion is like the monsoon cloud, dark as the monsoon cloud, has appeared assuming a molten golden complexion. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Shyam Sundar, who is the beautiful dark Supreme Lord, he has assumed the complexion of molten gold. And what is this thing that he never had given before in any other incarnation? That is his own loving devotion in the highest conjugal relationship. So in order to distribute that love of Godhead, Krishna has appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as I mentioned earlier, like the purpose of Krishna appearing as a devotee is that by serving this devotee Krishna, one becomes qualified to enter into Vrindavan. And how this devotee Krishna is served following Vaidhi Bhakti? Vaidhi Bhakti means following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. What is the injunctions of the scripture? How this personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, should be served? How? Yagai Sankirtana Praya. Through the process of Sankirtan. Through the process of congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord, this personality of Godhead, who appeared as a devotee, is worshipped. So, how many of you want to go to Vrindavan? So, how are you going to go to Vrindavan? Who can answer now? Yeah, by serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Sankirtan. And also here I'll make one point that Sankirtan doesn't only mean to chant Hare Krishna. It is one half of Sankirtan. Chanting is one half of the Sankirtan, 50%. And what is the other half of Sankirtan? To make others chant Hare Krishna. So don't be complacent and think that since you are chanting 16 rounds, you are okay. No, you are not okay. You make others also chant Hare Krishna. That will be the perfection of Sankirtan. And this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is served. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is served in this way, then we will become qualified to enter into Vrindavan. Then yesterday I also made another point in course of this discussion that the scripture actually says that by following Vaidhi Bhakti, one goes to Vaikuntha. But by following Raganuga Bhakti, one enters into Vrindavan. Now what is the meaning of Raganuga Bhakti? Raganuga bhakti means following a ragatmika bhakta. Ragatmika bhakta, ragatmika bhakta means those who have intense loving relationship with Krishna in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan has very, very deep loving relationship with Krishna. So much so that they don't have any consideration for themselves and their own benefit and their own likes and dislikes. They are completely obsessed with Krishna due to their love for him. So those devotees are called ragatmika bhaktas. Now when one follows these ragatmika bhaktas, then that is called rag anuga. Rag means love and anuga means following. Those who are loving devotees of Krishna, by following them, the devotion that we develop is called rag anuga bhakti. So by performing raganuga bhakti, one becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. And raganuga bhakti means to follow the devotion of the ragatmika bhaktas of Vrindavan. Now, of all the devotees of Vrindavan, who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? Srimati Radharani. And this appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Combined with Radharani, Krishna and Radharani together is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna and Radharani are, although they are one, they are separated. Radha and Krishna. But when they become one, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are we following? We are following Srimati Radharani. And Radharani is the greatest ragatmika bhakta. So following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means to become a raganuga bhakta. So this is how it is perfectly harmonized by Krishna's arrangement. The Lord must be served with vaidhi bhakti. And in order to enter into Vrindavan, we need to become raganuga bhaktas. But serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through vaidhi bhakti, we are actually performing raganuga bhakti. Is this point clear? So this is the external reason for Sri Krishna's appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once again, I could not register properly. How many of you want to go back to Vrindavan? Okay, those who really want to go to Vrindavan, raise both of your hands. Say, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. I am sure Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard you, your earnest desire, because he is situated in your heart, he knows what's going on in your heart. And when he sees that you are so eager to go back to him, to Vrindavan, and you are following the process as he has prescribed it, he will make arrangements for you to go there. Now, I mentioned that the external reason of Krishna's appearance has been explained through one verse, which I recited just a little while ago. But the internal reason has been explained through three verses. So that means the internal reason is so much more profound. Now how much time do I have? Subhas Prabhu? You can write in a piece of paper. Okay, so please read Chaitanya Charitamrita, huh? Because it is so beautiful and it's so profound. Like, I'm feeling bad that, you know, I have to skip all these verses Anyway, so the reason of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance has been explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the internal reason, in three verses. I'll just briefly discuss about these three verses. I'll just go back to that. So, that verse is, skipping that one. The first, it has been described as Radha Krishna Pranayo Bikritir Ladini Shaktir Asmad Ekatmano Bopi Bhuvi Pura Deho Bhedang Gatoutau Chaitanakhyang Prakata Madhuna Tadvayam Chaikam Aptang Radha Bhavad Dutishubalitang Naumi Krishna Swarupam. So this has been translated, this verse has been translated by Srila Prabhupada. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestation of Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now, these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. So this verse is actually explaining Radha Krishna Pranaya Bikritir Ladini Shaktir. Srimati Radharani is the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency known as Ladini Shakti. Radha Krishna and their love affairs is the manifestation of that potency, Ladini Shakti. And through this Ladini Shakti, Krishna derives his pleasure. Generally, the highest form of pleasure is experienced, or highest form of joy is experienced through love. So the supreme enjoyment of the supreme enjoyer, Krishna, is the business of Srimati Radharani. All the pleasure of Krishna is provided by Srimati Radharani because she is the pleasure-giving potency. But that potency is personified, and that personification is Srimati Radharani. Now, energy and energetic, are they one or different? Potency and the potent, the energy and energetic, are they one or different? They're simultaneously one and different. Right? The energy is the asset or the energy of the person who possesses it, energetic. But at the same time, when the energy is separated, when the energy is manifested, then it is separated, right? Like the powerhouse is generating power. When it comes out of the powerhouse and it becomes power, like electricity, then it is electricity. But in the powerhouse, it is potent, latent, in its latent form, it is dormant as the source of that potency or energy. So that's the point that has been made, that Radha and Krishna are one. But bhubi pura deho bhedam gato utau. But they again have become separated eternally. They're separated, Radha and Krishna. But when the energy and energetic become one, then what happens? When Radha and Krishna become one, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he is Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna with Srimati Radharani. And how is that? How does Krishna become one with Radharani? When Krishna becomes one with Radharani, then his complexion becomes like that of Radharani. And his mood also becomes like that of Radharani. What is the mood of Srimati Radharani? Radharani's mood is devotion. She is the deepest, the most intimate devotee of Krishna. So when Krishna assumes that mood, that means when Krishna assumes the mood of Srimati Radharani, when Krishna becomes a devotee, then his complexion also becomes different. That is, generally Krishna's complexion, what's Krishna's complexion like? You can see in that wall there are three pictures of Krishna, and here also you can see. How does he look like? What's his complexion like? It's like, beautiful bluish complexion. Jai Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadhish ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. And what is the complexion of Srimati Radharani? You can see there's a picture of Srimati Radharani. Radharani's complexion is like molten gold. What is molten gold? Did you ever see when gold melts? Gold, as it is gold, has a beautiful bright yellowish color, right? And when it melts, what happens? Then it becomes reddish. So it is, it's a beautiful color actually. And I think in the Caucasians have been blessed with that complexion. The molten, the Europeans, and that is the complexion of Srimati Radharani. So Chaitanya Krishna appears with that complexion, with that mood of Srimati Radharani. So that is the point that has been made in the first verse. And then Krishna considered that Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, after performing his loving exchange with Radharani, Krishna considers that how deep is her love for me? Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisho Banai Bashadya Jenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrisho Ba Modiyo Shokhanchasya Madanu Bhavato Kidrisho Beti Lobhad Tad Bhavadya Samajani Sachigarbhashindho Harindu. The translation is, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love. The wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love. And the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love. The Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appears from the ocean. So, Krishna wanted to know three things. What are those three things? Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mohima Kidrisha. What is the depth? What is the profundity? What is the glory? What is the beauty of Srimati Radharani's love for me? He wanted to know that. He wanted to know what is there in him that attracts Srimati Radharani so much. What is there in him that attracts Srimati Radharani? And then he considers, by loving him, what kind of joy Srimati Radharani experiences. So in order to understand these three things, Krishna assumed the role of Srimati Radharani. So this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani to understand the depth of Radharani's love for him, the beauty of Radharani's love for him, the glory of Radharani's love for him. He wanted to know also that what is there in him that attracts Radharani so much, attracts Radharani towards him in such a way. And by loving him, what kind of happiness she experiences. So in order to understand these three things, Krishna appeared from the womb of Srimati Radharani just as the moon appeared from the ocean. So these are the main reasons of Krishna's appearing. Internal reason of Krishna's appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, as I mentioned, that it's a very, very deep subject, but it's a wonderful subject matter. And therefore, I will request you, please read Chaitanya Charitamrita. Please read this scripture and you will see what a wonderful reservoir of spiritual information this book is. And the deeper you will go, the more nectarian it will appear to be. So please dive deep into this subject through this wonderful book that Srila Prabhupada has given to us in a most sublime way with his most eloquent purport of Bhaktivedanta purport. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanandaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Subhas Prabhu, do you have any comment?
We still have 25 minutes.
Any question or comment? Nirantar Prabhu, do you have some comments, please? Yes. Yeah.
I had a quick question regarding, you said We know that Lord Chaitanya came, you know, as a devotee. How is important as us devotees or aspiring to be Vaishnavas, as far as appearance-wise, maybe putting on tilak or, you know, like the bona fide appearance of a Vaishnava, you know, maybe dhoti or neck beads or, you know, in today's, you know, world?
Well, you see, devotion is actually not so much an external thing. It is an internal development. Like, especially now that Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world, and many individuals who will be, you know, engaged in so many different types of activities, and it may not be practical for everyone to wear the devotee clothes, right? And so the external appearance, although may have some relevance and importance, but it's not the most important consideration. Actually, is the internal mood of devotion. Like Bhaktivinod Thakur was a magistrate. When he used to go to work, he used to wear, you know, Western clothes. And he used to go to his work. So did that make him any less of a devotee? No. Similarly,
it would be important to keep something on, maybe neck beads or...
Yeah, yeah, right. Neck bead is, yeah, these are important. These are, yeah, especially neck bead is important because it is important that we are in constant touch with Tulasi Maharani. Not only that, you know, we don't know when death will come, right? And if we die, then Jamadutas may come. But if they see that we are wearing Kantimala, then Jamadutas have been instructed by Jamaraj that when you see that someone is wearing Kantimala, don't go near them. You offer your obeisances from a distance and go away. So it's actually guarding us from being dragged to the Jamalayas for punishment. So that is one consideration. And so I will leave it up to the individual, like
circumstances,
like, you know. But most important consideration actually is to develop our devotion internally. Devotion means what? Love, right? So we must develop our love for Krishna. The external is not important, just as the shape of our body and the color of our skin is not important for devotion. Similarly, the dress also is not so important for our devotion. But what really is important is our inner love for Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, it's about the point you made earlier where you said you have to chant yourself and have somebody else also chant for you to go to Vrindavan. I mean, you would have a chance to go to Vrindavan.
Yeah.
I heard of a pastime, one of the brahmacharis here narrated this to me, where one of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, he asks Narayan, and here is a disciple of mine, and will he make it to Vaikuntha? Narayan says, yes, that's very sure. And then he pretty much, and the Acharya then just, you know, as a second thought, asks about himself, if he will be going back to Vaikuntha. And then Narayan says, I don't know. The reason being that, you know, his disciple has a recommendation from him, that is his Acharya, but the Acharya has no recommendation from anybody else. So this Acharya later dresses himself as a Shudra and goes and works as a cowherd shed keeper, and then he gets a recommendation, so then he feels safe. So in that respect, we should chant and have others chant as well as have a recommendation? Is that how it works?
Yeah, so always be in the good books of the devotees, right, to get their recommendation. Who will recommend? A devotee of the Lord will recommend, right? So that's why it's important that you always remain favorably disposed to the devotees, so that we can get the recommendation. Good point, thank you. Yes, Nirantar Prabhu.
Will you answer a question apart from what we discussed today, or are you just going to ask today?
If you order me, then I'll sure do.
Would you speak for a few minutes on the topic of why it is so important that devotees in ISKCON
learn how to cooperate with each other to serve Srila Prabhupada?
Hmm.
Because I think this is a very,
very good,
all-pervasive problem. I'm sure you would agree with me, all over the world.
Hmm.
And I think it would help us if you could speak what it means to cooperate and, you know, the importance.
Okay, about the... To establish the importance of this point, I'll just quote Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada very emphatically mentioned few times, not only once, a few times before he left this planet, that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. Why did Srila Prabhupada put so much emphasis on our cooperation? Because this institution that Srila Prabhupada has created is very important for effectively propagating Krishna consciousness throughout the world, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And Srila Prabhupada was sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specially to fulfill that prediction that this Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. And in order to effectively continue his mission, Srila Prabhupada created this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because Prabhupada knew that he didn't have much time. Like he knew, like at the age of 70, Prabhupada came to the West, and he knew he had just only few years. And within this few years' time, within just 10 years' time, Prabhupada actually spread this movement all over the world, practically. But the goal is every town and village. Therefore, in order to effectively, successfully propagate this mission, Srila Prabhupada established this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. Because Prabhupada knew the importance of an institution to successfully propagate this mission. Because otherwise, after Prabhupada left, gradually, whatever he achieved would practically be lost, because there won't be, or you can put it this way, that in order to have an institution, or in order to successfully propagate this mission all over the world, we need an institution. Without an institution, it's not going to be possible. It needs a structure. And in that struck, and that's the effectivity of that institution lies in the cooperation of its members. Because if they don't cooperate, then what will happen? Then the institution will disintegrate. This wonderful institution that Srila Prabhupada has created will become fragmented. And then its purpose and its effectivity will be lost. That's why in order to properly establish the institution and effectively function in the future, Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic about our cooperation. Because when we cooperate, then the objective of this mission will be fulfilled. And in this respect also, Prabhupada gave one example of the effectivity of cooperation, especially among the devotees. Prabhupada pointed out that when two devotees function together, they are not two, they become 11. Three devotees become 111. This is how effective and potent our spirit of cooperation will be. And this will be the potency that it will generate. Now, so this is from Prabhupada's point of view. And I must admit that I think in ISKCON to some extent we have been able to effectively execute that instruction of Srila Prabhupada. Because about 30 years after Prabhupada's disappearance, ISKCON is still together. Like it could have disintegrated long time ago. But because the devotees of Srila Prabhupada, sincere devotees of Srila Prabhupada are seriously executing his instructions, and they're trying to cooperate in spite of so many difficulties, this institution is still together. And now from our perspective, from our own experience, what we see is that what is the biggest hindrance to cooperation? The biggest hindrance to cooperation is false ego. Biggest hindrance to cooperation is our own self-aggrandizement, the desire for our own distinction, adoration, and profit. Now, if we want to successfully progress in spiritual life, should we allow these things to develop? Should we cultivate our false ego? Should we cultivate our materialistic desires to enjoy this material nature? No. Therefore, the sign of our detachment from material sense gratification is our attachment to the movement, attachment to Krishna consciousness, attachment to the mission, attachment to the institution. And that attachment will be displayed by our spirit of cooperation. So, it is important that we always become aware of this fact, that if we are not cooperating, then something must be wrong with me. And if I am not able to cooperate, I am lacking spiritually. Therefore, let me shape up and let me learn to cooperate. And that is why Prabhupada actually made that proposal, which was some sort of a challenge. It actually came as a challenge from Srila Prabhupada. Because those last days of Srila Prabhupada, devotees were writing, very sentimental letters. Prabhupada, I am prepared to give my lifespan for you to continue to stay longer. And Prabhupada's response to that was, if you really love me, then show that love through your cooperation, not just some sentimental expressions in letters. So that is how important this cooperation is, and that is how difficult it is. And that's why Prabhupada gave it as a challenge. If you love me, show that love through your cooperation. Just some lip service is not enough. I love you, Srila Prabhupada. Not enough. If you love me, cooperate. Because cooperation is so difficult. But cooperation is important for the benefit of the movement. So that's why we have to. And now, what is actually the difficulty in cooperating? In order to cooperate, we have to sacrifice a lot. We have to sacrifice our material interests. In order to cooperate, we have to become more humble than a blade of grass. In order to cooperate, we have to become tolerant as a tree. So it's a big challenge, but we have to face this challenge to make spiritual progress. Does it answer your question, Nirantar Prabhu?
Can we take it to the next level?
Yeah, sure.
So, all well and good. You know, I have to give up my false ego. Okay, I'll try. But perhaps you have had this experience, and maybe you can tell us how you have solved it. What if the person that wants you to cooperate with them is wrong, and you're right? But the person is insisting, no, you have to cooperate with me. And you think, no, they're totally wrong. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had a disagreement with the GBC where you're saying, you guys are wrong? But what do you do then?
Well, when the GBCs don't listen to me, I back out. And when somebody don't want to cooperate with me, at least, you know, I try. I can give some examples, but I'll rather...
Who wants to hear this? I think your answer is so good. Just backing away from
the
inner peace.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, boy, when you are dealing with these Americans, it's tough. I learned one thing. Don't get into loggerheads with the Americans. Then either you'll be out or he'll be out. So either of it is not desirable. You see, like, today's world is a very passionate world. And that's why it's always better to avoid conflict. Because, you know, just a tiny little conflict, small little conflict will ignite a fire of dissension. And the thing is, the other point I would say is that when you see that someone is not really cooperating, someone is becoming difficult, then it's a question is who is more advanced? The one who is more advanced, he will tolerate. Right? Just like in a family, the brothers, the younger brother becomes, you know, upset and throws a tantrum. But the elder brother tolerates, you know. So, okay, just cool down. You know, like he knows that, you know, let him rave and rant for a while, but then he'll cool down. So similarly, in the family of ISKCON, those who are elder, or not by age or seniority in that way, but elder or superior in advanced spiritual advancement, they will be the one who will tolerate and carry on. To maintain the peace. Anyway, at least that will be my theoretical response to this. Okay. Thank you, Nirantar Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Anyway, I hope nobody did mind anything that I said something about the Americans. Subhash Prabhu, please forgive me if I offended you by any chance. I was joking. Actually, in ISKCON, everyone is my friend. I consider that even the Ritviks are my friends.
So,
Yeah.
I have a question about your last word. I'm very neophyte, and I have a lot of confusions. I used to hang around with some devotee. They are very nice, well-mannered and everything. And suddenly I discovered they are ethic. They never preach anything subversive to what I believe. Should I maintain the friend relationship with them, or should I just get out and run for my life?
Since you mentioned that you are a new devotee, my sincere advice will be just to maintain your devotional creeper, because it's very tender now. Avoid any association that may be detrimental, right? So, you know, like, it's better to avoid.
What happened was, like, one of them came to Los Angeles the other day, and he's asking help from me in material terms and things. And I was in such a dilemma that should I not return his call? Should I just, how do I avoid this? That's the reason I asked Maharaj, that can I still help him on a material side, you know, whatever.
Well, you see, I am just a visitor here. So I will suggest that you ask Subhas Prabhu and take his guidance. Because he's here, he can guide you on an ongoing basis. So, you know, for me, you know, it won't be appropriate and practical. And Subhas Prabhu is all right? Like, he can come to you. And... Yes.
The sacred text of Bhagavad Gita is always, most of the time, associated with Hinduism or Vedic religion.
What is that?
Bhagavad Gita is always, most of the time, is associated with Hinduism. Can the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita be spread into other religions without changing their faith? And what is ISKCON doing?
Okay, my first response to that will be, did Krishna ever mention in Bhagavad Gita that Bhagavad Gita is for the Hindus? No. On the other hand, Krishna is actually saying, Dehi Nashmin Jatha Dehe Komaram Jauvanam Jara. Just as your body changes from boyhood to youth to old age, but in spite of the change of the body, you do not change. Similarly, after you give up your body, leave your body, you will get another body. Right? Now, does it apply only to Hindus? No, it's a universal. Not only human beings, that truth actually applies even to the trees and plants, beasts, animals and birds. So Bhagavad Gita, message of Bhagavad Gita is actually universal. And today you can see, like, I mean, just look around you in this room. I mean, yes, there are some Hindus, but there are so many non-Hindus also. Did they accept Bhagavad Gita? If you come close to them, you'll find that they have accepted Bhagavad Gita even more seriously than most of the Hindus. So that is the proof. Bhagavad Gita is for everybody. Whoever wants to derive the benefit out of it, can derive the benefit out of it. And that's why Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita into English. And then his translations have been further translated into all the major languages of the world. Today Bhagavad Gita is available everywhere. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is available everywhere, and people all over the world are taking benefit from that. Yes? Beg your pardon? No, I mean, well, I didn't take it that way, because then where's the question of other religion, right? There's only one. If you come to Vaishnavism, then there is only one religion.
But usually in Vaishnavism, there is no Hindu, Indian, there's not too much segregation in this, so
I think sometimes people get confused. Right, yes, right. Or you can say that when one accepts Bhagavad Gita, he becomes Vaishnav, irrespective of his caste and creed. Thank you. And ultimately, the message of Bhagavad Gita is spiritual. So it has nothing to do, or not much to do, with the external covering, this material body. It's the message of the spiritual message of an individual soul and his connection with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. Thank you. Beg your pardon?
We have to get in touch with the person who writes the dictionaries, and they say Krishna is a Hindu god. We have to somehow erase that, whoever's writing these.
These are the misconceptions.
But usually in the predominant, this earth, a lot of the people are thinking it's a Hindu god.
Yeah, right, that's true.
That makes a lot of people even avoid coming to the Hare Krishna temple. And this is sad that, you know,
yeah, people in ignorance, when they write something, what do you expect? Right. Like, actual, the reality is God is one. The Hindus may call him by one name, Muslims may call him by another name, the Jews may call him by another name, and Christians may call him by another name. But when you say supreme, like all religions will accept that point, God is the supreme. So when it's a consideration of supreme, how many supremes can be there? Supreme is singular, isn't it? So God is one. The Muslims are identifying him as Allah. Christians are identifying him as God. The Jews are identifying him as Jehovah. And the Hindus are identifying him as Krishna. But he is one. Without a second. The informations in different religion may vary according to the degree that is available, degree of information. Some religion may have more informations about him and some may have less. But in essence, they all are talking about that same one supreme personality of Godhead. Now the confusing thing about Hinduism has become is due to the fact that, you see, there are two concepts, Bhagavan and Devatas, right? When they translated into English, they kind of used just one expression, God. The Devatas are God, and Bhagavan also is God. But the Devatas are the different, the in charge of different departments, different affairs of the universe. They are the controllers. They are known as devas and devis. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is Bhagavan. Like, for example, Ganesha is not Bhagavan. Indra is not Bhagavan. Surya is not Bhagavan. Krishna is Bhagavan. But they are devas. Ganesh, Deva. Surya, Deva. Indra, Deva. Chandra, Deva. Pavan Deva and Saraswati Devi, like, and so forth. Yes, you have a question?
Yes, I'm just curious.
Give him the mic. Yeah.
Take the mic. You just said something about devas. I'm not sure. Do you mean devas are gods too? You said Bhagavans are gods. Did you say devas are gods too? Or did you say avatars are gods?
I couldn't get your point.
Few minutes ago.
Oh, devas.
Devas, yeah. You say devas are gods?
No, it's a Sanskrit expression. Probably you're not familiar with that.
Yeah, what does that mean?
As I mentioned just now, the departmental heads.
Of what?
In the universal affairs, there are different departments. Uh-huh. Like fire department.
Uh-huh.
Right? Wind department.
Okay.
Rain department.
Okay, now I understand.
Thank you very much. So these departmental heads are called devas.
Thank you very much. God bless you.
Okay, thank you all very much. Okay, last question. Yeah.
I'd just like to thank you, Maharaj.
I've heard you speak, quite a few times, and every time I hear you speak straight to my heart. I'd like to say thank you, always. I hear you speaking directly to me on so many different levels. Please allow me to take shelter of your lotus feet and accept me as your disciple.
Yes, as Srila Prabhupada's servant, and considering that you are Srila Prabhupada's child, I'll try my best to take care of you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Bol. Maybe we can have a little kirtan before we end. Yeah. So, can I get the harmonium?